This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Renting isn't a side issue anymore. For many of us, it's how we live long term. And when the rules change, they don't just affect contracts, they affect stability, privacy, and peace of mind. So joining us for our monthly chat is Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. Nicole, welcome back.
Thank you.
Let's start with what's actually changed. What are the latest rental reforms that have come into effect?
Yeah, well, there's been a number of significant changes. I mean, we had, you know, a huge number of changes back in 2021, which I think we've talked about a few times, Warren, but important to note, there's been some other very important reforms just in the last few weeks. So I guess some that are most talked about and are going to have a lot of impact is that in Victoria, there's no longer any notices to vacate that can be given for no reason. So you have to have a valid reason if you're a rental provider to give a notice to vacate. So that's also sometimes people talk about bans on no-fault evictions. That's what they're talking about. So that reform has come into place. There's more time now that you have to give if you're giving a notice to vacate or a notice of a possible rent increase. That's another really important reform. And there's also now what we call a total ban on rental bidding. So rental bidding is really any form of price being offered for rent that's above the advertised price. So in Victoria today, if you're advertising a rental, you have to give a fixed price, and basically you can't accept a price above that once you've put the price out there.
So were people
advertising the property for? Well, yeah, I mean, we were getting, I mean, there was lots of chatter about what was happening in the market. So, you know, back in 2021, the laws banned various forms of rental bidding. So it became unlawful to solicit an offer to pay higher rent or invite offers. So, you know, where you could advertise but say like, we'll accept offers of higher rent if you want to secure the property. That became unlawful, but it didn't stop people volunteering to pay more and then you know, an estate agent or a rental provider accepting that offer. So that, like, that sort of final form of rental bidding has now been outlawed.
Nicole, just on that, having to have a valid reason to give notice to vacate a property, what's to stop someone from making up a reason and just saying, well, that is a reason, I'm going to move back in, but they don't do it?
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent question, and we do sort of get reports of people being concerned about that. There's a few things in the law that try and stop that from happening. So the law says, I mean, obviously it's within rights of renters and rental providers to look to end a rental agreement for various kind of reasons that are set out in the law, and that in itself is, I think, you know, a reasonable thing. And one of the valid reasons that a rental provider can give is that they're planning to sell the property. Another one is that they're planning to move back in, or, you know, a close family member or friend is planning to move back in. So they might be common reasons, but you're right, you know, what stops people just making that up? So the law does say that if you're using one of those reasons, you also have to provide evidence to support the fact that it's a legitimate reason. So there's some specific forms of evidence that are set out that you have to attach to the notice. And, you know, I always refer to our website, but that if you go to our website, there's a table that tells you all the different reasons and what evidence you need to attach if you're going to use certain types of reasons. Even then, you know, we do sometimes hear reports about people's concerns. So the law actually goes on to say, if you use one of those reasons as a grounds to issue a notice to vacate, you are not allowed to re-let the property within the next 6 months. So that is a kind of consequence if you use one of those reasons, is they're saying, okay, that's fine, that's a legitimate reason, but then you can't just go out and re-let the property again. And there's actually a criminal offence if you try and relet the property within 6 months.
Let's talk about smoke alarm. What's the status with the smoke alarm checks? Are they mandatory?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, anybody that's had any experience of renting, you know, in Victoria will know that you need to have smoke alarms. They tend to get checked and so on. You've got to replace batteries. So that's a pretty common experience, but people might not realise that until the reforms that were only put into place a few weeks ago, it wasn't mandatory for all rental properties in Victoria to actually have an annual smoke alarm check. Ooh. So the building laws in Victoria require all buildings to have smoke alarms in them, but Of course, if they're not checked, how do you know if one's broken, not working? So since the law changes in 2021, new rental properties have to do annual checks, but this wasn't backdated. So there were these loopholes that if people had been in rental properties for a long time, they weren't necessarily getting annual checks of their smoke alarms. And I can point out the obvious that it's a really big fire risk. So that loophole has been closed. And I think it's one of the really important reforms, Warren, because it's about people's lives. So, we know smoke alarms save lives. And now it's mandatory that every rental property in Victoria is getting an annual smoke alarm check.
Nicole, I have to confess, I burnt a toasted sandwich a couple of weeks ago and set off my smoke alarm. And I didn't realise they were all connected. All of them went off, which is a good thing.
Well, look, yes. And I've got to say, I've done that as well, and it is a minor irritation. But then I remind myself that it's better than the alternative, which is a smoke alarm not working when you really need it to. So I think we all put, I've also been woken up at 3 a.m. with my smoke alarm going off. So we've all had those experiences. But ultimately, I'm still, a really big believer in these kind of basic, in some ways, pretty cheap safety measures that can be put in place that, as I say, actually do save people's lives.
And trying to silence them with the broom handle.
Yeah, exactly.
All know, we're all familiar with it, but they are a good thing. Let's talk about increases in rent. How often can a rental provider increase the rent?
Yes, it's been a big issue coming out of COVID. We did see rent increases, and a lot of people contacted us about this issue. So there's some new changes that have been put in place here as well. So one of the really important changes is you now need to be given more notice of a rent increase. So that's a recognition that, it's obviously a hit to people's finances, and people need time to work out if they want to stay, whether they can afford it, how they're going to adjust, whether they want to challenge it, all of those things. So it's now a requirement that at least 90 days notice is given. Otherwise, the rent increase won't actually be valid. So that's a really important change. But more generally, the law's also set out a range of other requirements, Warren. So in Victoria today, you can only do one. A rental provider can only propose one rent increase a year. So that's another really important protection. If you're in a fixed term agreement, so a lot of us, if you first sign up to a rental, you'll often do a 12-month rental agreement. Unless your rental agreement actually says that there's going to be a rent increase during that period, then it's not lawful to have a rent increase. And even if it does say there's going to be a rent increase, it has to tell you what it's going to be or how it's going to be calculated, or it won't be valid. And there can still only be one a year. So they're very, very important protections. And then lastly, you do have a right to challenge a rent increase if you think that the increase is excessive. And that's another very important protection. The rent increase notice tells you how you can do that, but basically the process is that you'd call us, or you'd get in touch with us at Consumer Affairs Victoria, and we can investigate whether we think the rent increase is excessive. I know it's a long answer, but just to add another thing, one of the other important reforms that has just come in, this will start in March next year. They're strengthening that process. So one of the complaints has sometimes been that our rent increase investigations can't always take all of the important factors into account that are affecting the rent increase. So from March, there are new laws coming in that essentially give us more ability to look at what's going on with the rent increase and take more things into account in deciding whether we think the rent increase is excessive. And I think that's another really important protection.
Now, these laws are for consumers and housing, aren't they? Because I know a friend of mine had a 100% increase in rent on a commercial property and thought that was unlawful. And I said, I'm not sure. But so these new reforms are for people living in houses. Is that right?
Yeah, that's actually a really important distinction. So that's right. We call them residential rental reforms. So they are for essentially people's living arrangements. So, a lot of these reforms apply to the different types of rentals. So, I guess the most common rental in Victoria is like a private rental, renting a house or a unit or an apartment. But there's also different types of private renting, like renting in a rooming house or renting in a caravan park or a residential park, for example. So all of those have got changes to increase their protections. But you're spot on. If you're a business, you're renting in a commercial space, these laws don't apply. But there are still laws and protections in those spaces. So definitely not my area of expertise, but there are laws that apply around retail leases and commercial leases as well. So obviously get some legal advice. Or if you're a small business, I'd suggest contacting the Victorian Small Business Commission if you've got any queries about that.
We're chatting with Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria, about renters' rights and the latest reforms in Victoria. Nicole, how will the new privacy laws better protect renters?
Oh, yes, thank you. That's a really good good question, because that is one of the new reforms as well. So one of the other concerns that people were voicing, I think fairly, is there weren't really any specific protections around what happens to your personal information once you provide it to an estate agent or a rental provider. So there are general privacy laws in Australia, but they don't really specifically cover necessarily everything to do with, you know, you give a lot of information when you apply for a rental. You give financial information and you give referees and these kind of things. So some of that can be quite sensitive, and that's sort of then sitting there in files. So the new laws provide quite a lot more protection for people's information. So they require estate agents and rental providers to actually securely store and keep that kind of information, and also require them to destroy it after a certain period of time. So you can't just sit on it for years and years anymore. It does need to be destroyed once you no longer have a reasonable use for it, and the law sort of sets out some time periods for that. So I think they're really important increased protections for, you know, ordinary people applying for rentals every day.
I love that. And I know it's not your area, so you don't have to comment, but I wish they would do that with other big corporate telecommunications companies as well.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you're absolutely right. There's been a lot of debate about, like, okay, sometimes you need to check people's identification for various reasons, so that's kind of legitimate, but then do you need to hold on to those copies of everybody's ID documents forever? And I think the answer is probably you don't. So that this law is going to exactly that point. So you will be forced to destroy that information once you've made use of it. You know, once you've checked the person's ID or their financial capability, I mean, they're things rental providers do need to check, but once that's happened, you have to destroy the information.
I think that's fantastic. Now, how do Victoria's blind cord safety standards differ from the national safety standards?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I mean, obviously, you can hear, you know, my passion for safety. So this is another safety improvement. And again, I just think this is so important. So unfortunately, you know, in homes where you've got those kind of styles of blinds or curtains where the cords hang down,
they can form...
Yeah, they're really dangerous. They can form these large sort of hanging loops. And there's been some tragic incidents, including in Victoria, where children have had their necks caught in the cords and have been strangled. It's just awful. And it's such a simple fix. All you need to do is anchor the cords to the wall. Then they get tensioned and they can't form a loop, and people can't slide in between them. So they remove the risk. It's incredibly cheap to fix. And in fact, we give out free blind and curtain cord safety kits. You can order them online from us. You can go down to the hardware store and buy them for a few dollars. So it's such a simple fix to increase safety. So there have been product safety standards in Australia for a number of years around installation of these blind and curtain cords and the fact that they have to be tensioned. But if you've got older properties and the curtains have been there for a long time, the product safety standards won't have been complied with because the curtains or blinds have been installed a long time ago. So the new laws, as of 1 December in Victoria, it's mandatory that every rental in Victoria, if you've got these kinds of blinds or curtains, the cords must be tensioned. It is mandatory, so it's now an obligation on landlords to do that. So if you're listening, you're worried that you haven't done that, you know, don't get caught out, and just for safety's sake, order the kit, go down to the hardware store, install it. And again, as I say, like, I don't think I'm overdoing it to say that it can save a life.
And it's a cheap fix, like you said.
Absolutely. Simple. A cheap fix. And if you're a renter listening to this and you're worried, you don't actually have to wait for permission. It is the law in Victoria also that this is a modification that any renter is allowed to make to their home without getting any permission from the rental provider or the agent. So you can go down and do it yourself now if you'd like to as well.
I tried to be really smart and put one of those, those smart home blind openers on one of the cords. Absolute disaster. We've gone back to the... plane call.
Look, I'm not very good at these things either. My partner has installed an entire new blind in the house recently, and I'm pretty impressed by it. But no loose, you know, no blinds with these loose cords, because obviously I'm a bit of a fanatic about saying how dangerous they are. So I'm impressed with that. But yes, like honestly, I think even I could install the safety kit, to be honest. You honestly just screw this little anchor into the wall, and then you can tie the cord around it, and it's so much safer.
Are there any further protections for renters in the pipeline, Nicole?
Yeah, there's a few more that will be starting in March. So, again, our website's got a bit more information about what's coming up as well. Probably one of the key ones I wanted to flag is a standardised rental application form, which is sort of brand new. So anybody that's rented, whether you're the renter or rental provider, will know that there's a standard agreement that is used in Victoria. So everybody has to use the same form of rental agreement. And that's been in place for a long time, gives people certainty and some protections, but there's never been any standard form for applying for a rental, which means that, you know, there's all sorts of different practices. And again, to go to that point about information, people get asked all sorts of different information and are often being asked to share lots of quite sensitive or personal information, which may or may not really actually be needed. Once you've got some basics about people's financial capability and who they are and so on, do you really need reams and reams of additional information? So as of March, there will be a standard rental application form that everybody has to use in Victoria when they're asking somebody to apply to rent a property, which I think is a really big improvement. And it will also then become the law that you can only ask people information that's in the form. So anything else will not be allowed to be asked anymore. So again, just limiting the personal information that you can be asked to hand over. So I think that's a really big improvement.
Some good reforms. Nicole, thank you especially for making the time to talk with the Joydrive family every month. We know you're really busy, and it means a lot knowing someone is looking out for us and keeping us informed about the things that affect our lives every day. So we really appreciate it, and we wish you a safe and restful and hopeful.
Yeah, thanks, Warren, to you, and really appreciate the chance to talk with all the listeners about these matters, and wishing everybody a wonderful festive season as well.
Thank you, Nicole. We'll talk to you next year.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was Nicole Rich, Director of Consumer Affairs Victoria. Check out their website. There is an absolute wealth of resources, consumer.vic.gov.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.